Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
A 28-yard field goal attempt for Lindell right down the middle of the field. Set to go. Win it or lose it right here for Buffalo. All right, snap. The ball is down. The kick is up. And the kick is good. And the Buffalo Bills end a 15-game losing streak against the Patriots.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, hey there. How you, Pete? It's Tuesday. Welcome to the first edition this week of the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio at Patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Of course, you can Facebook me as well right here at Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. As always, I will read all your quotes. I wish I could read some of them. Maybe I should go back and read them after what I posted Sunday night, a little synopsis. It's just it's so hysterical on Sunday nights after a Patriots win or loss, or especially after a loss, and you put one little comment up there, and I got like 95 responses. You know, some were, most of them were actually pretty rational. Some were just off the chart, you know, silly, stupid, and ridiculous. And I really do get amazed. And of course, I'm as shocked as anybody and upset that they lost 34-31 and nobody saw it coming and that kind of thing. But as I was talking to John in the crossover, people are painting, you know, it seems to be strictly, for the most part, not everybody, but for the most part, they're just going to, you know, kick the crap out of the defense, and it's their fault, and it's their fault that life stinks and sucks, and it's their fault about the economy and everything else and all that stuff. It's a team loss. And the offense had as much to do with this loss as the defense, despite the great numbers from Tom. Look, I mean, he had, you know, two interceptions were bad. You could actually make a case for the third one being bad. The only one I thought was a really bad one was the one to Gronkowski. We tried to force that one in. The other three were, two were deflected, and one, I'm not sure, 85 ran the right route. So there's a lot there, even though Tom refuses to throw him under the bus. And I don't blame him. But you can make a case that, you know, three of those picks weren't horrible. One was bad. The one tried to force into Gronkowski was a bad one. But regardless, it ends up being four picks, and you cannot win in the NFL for the most part when you have four turnovers in a game. And the one, there's never a bright spot when you lose, but it's kind of phenomenal if you think about it that they turned the ball over four times and were still, you know, still a shot to win this thing. Probably still should have. But didn't happen. They lost. You know, they're 2-1 now. As I said in the beginning of the season, I didn't expect this team to lose more than three games or, you know, two or three games. Whatever. This is one of them. They hadn't lost in Buffalo in a long time. And so, you know, here we are at 2-1. Is the world going to end? No. Is the NFL season going to end? No. I just ask everybody, just look. I always say this, but I'm going to keep pounding into your guys' heads and girls so you get it. Look at the big picture. Look at the freaking league. Look at the NFL. And tell me, with the exception of maybe Green Bay, what other team out there do you think, and Green Bay's had their issues as well, what other team out there, you know, do you think is having this fantastic, great season? And please don't tell me Buffalo and Detroit, because we're way alone. I've seen that too many times. I've seen that story start out that way too, those fairy tale beginnings. But unfortunately, look up the Denver Broncos from a few years ago at 6-0 and not making the playoffs, and a couple other teams that have started off 3-0 and 4-0 not made the playoffs. So, you know, I've seen and heard that story before. So, I mean, you look at the Eagles. You look at Atlanta this week going into Tampa Bay. The Dallas Cowboys, San Diego, struggling, hanging on against Kansas City. By the way, my picks last week, Kev, phenomenal. Phenomenal. A 12-4 number against the spread, including going 3-0 with my Pete the Meat Monster Miraculous pick with Green Bay. 3-0 on my Miraculous picks. 12-4 last week. So we'll do the picks on Thursday again. But just look at all the games around. Look at Pittsburgh on Sunday night in Indianapolis. Did they look good? I mean, lucky Polamalu returned that fumble for a touchdown. I mean, anyway, you lost that game. So, you know, yeah, it's a loss. There's a lot to break down. Yeah, can they make improvements? Yes, they'll make improvements. It's week three. I always say you really don't have know what you have in a team until around week 9 or 10. So I'm not, I refuse to sit here and play, you know, Mr. Panic Boy and start ripping people up and down, this, that. Do they deserve criticism? Absolutely. For some of the plays they made, no question about it. Offense and defense. All I'm saying is it's not a one-sided loss here. Not by a long shot. That's all I ask. Just look at it from both sides. It's not just blame McCourty. It's not just blame Bodden. It's not just blame, you know, Haynesworth, where was he? Didn't play. It's not, you know, the lack of pass rush. It's not just Brady throwing four picks. It's a lot, it's a combined effort here. Combined effort. It's really a shot. It's really too bad because they were on the verge. This actually started out looking like 2007, which I didn't think it would. And in 2007, remember, I think it was 35-10 on that Sunday night or Monday night at the half. 35-7. And this was well on that way to being that way. It was 21-0. It could have easily been 28-7. But it wasn't. You know, we play the butterfly effect game here a couple of times, but it wasn't. It's too bad the way it ended. Certainly there are some concerns. I mean, you do have to take into consideration. You got to take into consideration Chung and Rozay Dowling didn't play. You have to take into consideration a couple of plays, a couple of horrible calls by the refs, and not just against the Patriots. I saw there were a couple of holding calls I thought the Patriots got away with too in this game that they didn't call on the offensive line part. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and blame the officials, but I think those are two. I mean, the Love penalty on when Buffalo was backed up in the fourth quarter, and they call Love for that that ridiculous roughing the passer call. I mean, that was an awful call. The Sergio Brown was an awful call on a ball that was way underthrown. Nelson was holding Sergio Brown. Terrible call right there. Barrett made the interception, an easy pick, and a horrible throw by Fitzpatrick. I mean, that all factors into it. All the stuff factors into it. And none of it, and it's just one of those games, and none of it, for the most part, went the Patriots' way. None of it did. But it happens from time to time. I mean, all good teams are going to go through this. And I'd be shocked if anybody goes undefeated. So, all I'm saying is that it's a disappointing loss, yeah. But it's not like they went out and lost 42-10, okay? You know, they despite I think it does show something. I mean, despite the four turnovers, one leading to a pick six for the Bills, and everything else, still tied right down to the wire here. And it would have been really interesting to see what would have happened if they had scored and not the time hadn't run out. But I can't blame McCourty for making that tackle. I mean, that's just instinctive, and I think Bill talked about it already a couple of times. We'll hear from Bill a little bit later on. But it would have been interesting. The Patriots had about a minute 45 to go. My guess is they probably would have scored.
Yeah, their only chance would have been if he got in.
Yeah,
it was a minute 43 left.
Yeah.
So after the kickoff, you probably got what? If he returns the kickoff, you probably have like a minute 35.
Yeah.
And you got two timeouts still.
Yeah.
Because that whole fiasco with the timeouts would have never happened.
I have no doubt. Remember, the Patriots actually were trailing in this game, and they marched right down the field and scored.
Well, that was a hell of a drive.
It was a great drive.
They showed some moxie on that 4th.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you got to factor all this stuff in. I don't think there's a lot of teams. I mean, the Raiders didn't show. You know, they came back against the Jets and looked good. I thought they would. I didn't like how the Jets looked against Jacksonville. I know the score looked lopsided, but if you watched a lot of that game, and I did that day a couple weeks ago. Sanchez did not look good. Now he looks even worse with his busted little nose. But I didn't think they looked good against Jacksonville. Jacksonville just sucks. And Sanchez was bad. I thought was mediocre in that game. And he was, you know, mediocre to bad in the game on Sunday against the Raiders. But there's one thing about this Patriot team over the years. They've only lost back-to-back games a couple of times lately. Once was in 09, and before that was 02. So, you know, last year when they lost to Cleveland, they went into Pittsburgh and annihilated them. And I'm just telling you, and I've already done a lot of reading up on and watched. First of all, I saw the Raiders against Denver, and it was just an atrocious game. That was one of the worst NFL games I've ever seen. They were Kyle Orton basically handed that game to the Broncos to the Raiders in that game. Then they lose in Buffalo, 38-35, down by 21. All right. And then they beat the Jets, 34-24. And they look good in that game. That's the best game they've looked at all year. But they don't have anywhere near defensively. I tell you, you think Brady's got numbers so far? Wait till you see him after Sunday. I promise you it'll be the same about the net yardage and passing. He'll pass for over 400 yards in that game, and they're going to score more points in that game than they have all year. Mark my words, it's coming. It's going to be a 40-plus game for the Patriots in points. I know what you're saying. Yeah, but they'll give up 35. Well, I hope that's not the case. I hope that's not the case. I think you're going to see. I just have a feeling that this team responds pretty well. I just think overall the team will play better next Sunday. Just a feeling I've had from observation over the last 12 years with watching this team with this coach. 11 years, whatever it is. Seems just like yesterday. But I ask everyone again, just look around the NFL and look at the yardage being put up all over the league. It's sick. It's absolutely sick. It's what I've been talking about. There's just tons of points being scored all over the place, except that rain, that monsoon in Carolina on Sunday. But, I mean, seriously. Just lots of points all over. New Orleans makes that great comeback against Houston. I think they were down by 10 that game. They come back and win, But the Patriots, yeah, they have some issues. I will say the McCourty thing, it's 3 weeks. And I know up until this week I've been trying to cut him a little bit of slack because of the receivers he's gone up against. But there's no question he needs to improve. There's no doubt about it. I'm a little disappointed in him in the coverage so far. Lee Bodden, too, on Sunday, obviously, a little bit disappointing. I know they were banged up on the secondary. I know Chung and wasn't there. I mean, Kyle Arrington was a nice surprise. A couple of picks. Looked good. Looked a lot better than he did in the first two games. So that's a plus there. But you got to consider the turnovers, one for a pick six, and what might have happened if they not turned the ball over three times and two deflected turnovers. Once when they're going a couple times going in for points, and Chad dropping that ball in the end zone, which was just awful. Just awful.
Bill!
I'm trying. Last week I was talking to, Brian Lowe. We'll be back Thursday for the Fantasy Lowdown. I said, I think Chad might have, call it a breakout week.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
I thought he'd have four catches and two touchdowns. For like 75 yards. Well, instead he had two catches for something like, 39 yards. Could have had a third, plus a touch. Should have had two more, plus a touchdown. Would have made things a lot easier. And now I'm wondering, if he can't get it together this week against the Raiders, then maybe he's not going to get it at all. Because Chad Ochocinco, if he can't put up numbers against this pathetic Raiders team on defense, and don't talk to me about the, Kyle Orton's 20 points. And this Raider defense is just not that. It's no way going to be able to stop the Patriots. Again, the Patriots can only stop the Patriots on offense, as they did on Sunday. And they still scored 31 points. Bills on offense scored 27 points on Sunday. Remember, one touchdown was given to them by the Patriots offense. So the Patriots are giving up 26.3 points per game. They're averaging 34.7 points per game. Three games. Very, very small sampling. Very, very small sampling. But we'll break it all down. Believe me, I understand why people are upset. And I think it's way too easy to start saying, see, it's just like last year. You can say that about so many teams and so many sports. You can't say it's just like last year. We're only 3 weeks in. And this team looks even more powerful on offense than it did last year. And I told you last year I thought they were going to be as strong as the 2007 team, nearly as strong. They nearly were. This one offense, this team this year, even with Hernandez out for a couple of weeks, might break that the offense record in 07. I mean, it's unbelievable the numbers they're putting up. And what's sad is, and I was reading some commentary, and I don't know if it was in PFW or somewhere, but I agreed with the point, it's that people are expecting 13-3, 12-4, 13-3, 14-2. I think a lot of people are automatically just dismissing the regular season because they know the Patriots are going to be one of the elite teams in the NFL. And they're kind of like got this laissez-faire attitude of, well, we'll crap all over them when we can, but when we get to know, because we know they're going to win 12 or 13, 14 games anyway, and we'll just see what happens when it gets to the playoffs, because they've lost three in a row. They can't overcome that in the playoffs, even though people count the Super Bowl as the loss, you know. And the Baltimore game that they lost in 09, which was just the Walker thing, to me, was a total deflation, and they self-destructed in that game, in the Baltimore playoff game. I mean, they self-destructed from the opening kickoff. They were done. It seemed when that play, they were done. They were down 21-0 or 20-0 before you even blinked. But like I said before, you know, Joe Montana lost three playoff games in a row. I think he went on to win two or three more Super Bowls after that. I'm just tired of hearing blanket statements. It's just real easy to point out one player or one aspect of a team and say, they suck, he sucks, you suck, it sucks. You know? And I don't know how many of you go back and watch some of these plays and go back and DVR the game and watch, because I do, you know, two or three times. I've already seen the game two or three times, probably two and a half times. And I'm just telling you, you get it. Once you settle down emotionally, yeah, the worst thing you can do is go back and watch it 10 seconds, you know, 10 seconds after the game is on. You want to go back and rewatch it. I always give myself a day. So yesterday, I sit back and I watch it. I take down notes, see things that I can't listen to some of the national media because it's so over the top stupid that, you know, I feel like I'm getting pounded over the head with a gavel. So I make my own assessments. I really don't read. I really, be honest with you, I read PFW every week because I think those guys do a fantastic job. I love the differing opinions, and I'll be honest with you, I have a real hard time reading coverage in the Herald and the Globe for the most part about the Patriots. I really do. I don't read a lot of it anymore. It's nothing against the writers, so many of them are great writers. I just think are way over the top one way or the other. Way over the top. And after week three, look at some of the headlines, Nat. I mean, there was a thing, you know, last week, is the Patriots' grip on the division dwindling? Where does this come from?
Panic, Pete.
But it's so absurd.
I've fallen.
Exactly.
And I can't get up.
Just everybody take a step back, for God's sakes.
Maybe everybody's, you know, so worked up about this baseball thing we got going on.
Well, I think that's part of it.
Everyone's paranoid that the Pats are the next team that's going to bite the dust.
Again, it's week three, not, you know, week 90, not game 160 for the Red Sox, which is, that's a whole other issue. that's for another.
What a sad state
another
of
website.
That is.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. We'll see. That's going to be interesting tonight. Whoever thought game 160 against Baltimore was going to mean, or 161 is going to mean so much. But that's, we could sit here and
you know
talk about that.
The Yankees are throwing, what, Cologne tonight? So, in probably a AAA lineup. And then Girardi's already admitted that tomorrow is pitching by committee. It's just going to be a guy for an inning, a guy for another inning. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
They want the Red Sox to lose.
Probably. You know, probably. And I thought actually the commissioner was supposed to look into stuff like that because I think that happened before. But they always say
collusion.
Collusion. They always say they're going to do that, but then nothing comes.
Be like you and me working together to run a table.
Had a nice one last night, by the way. Anyway, in Foxborough, charity event. I ask is, just be fair, not to just paint the team with one big, you know, the defense sucks or the offense sucks or they had a bad game. All right. They had a bad game. They lost by 3 points in Buffalo, a team that they have clobbered there in that stadium for many years. So I'm just not ready. I'm not jumping off any bridges. I'm not panicking. Not by a long shot. It's week freaking three. And I just keep getting that feeling no matter what this team does, nobody's going to really give them or say anything overly positive about it until they get to the playoffs, because they still have this mentality, because we have a spoil brat mentality now in this whole region because of how many championships that our teams have won, that it just doesn't matter till you get to the playoffs. And I understand some of it. I do. But you can't be that way. You can't just lump everything in together. It's not all just one big, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's not, one season is not like, this is not like last season. You can keep saying whatever you want about it. You can't make that, you can't just paint a brush like that, a clear cut brush that, make blanket statements like this is just like last year. It's week three. Things change on a dime in the NFL. Very quickly. Teams, after 5, 6, 7 weeks, sometimes they get it, start coming together. I promise you, you're going to see this defense improve. I promise it's going to happen. It may not improve to the way you want it to improve, going back to 2003 and 04, because I don't think you're going to see them. Like I said, I just don't think you're going to see these defenses that you know, I think giving up 20 points a game now is okay. Most teams, that's what they do. It's tough, and it's you know, you give up 17, 20 points a game. And most teams, that's what they're doing. I told you, the offense is way too powerful right now. That's the evolution of the game. I made the analogy last week. Back in the 70s and 80s, if you were a pitcher and had an ERA of over 3.3, you considered a crappy pitcher. If you had an ERA of 4 back then in baseball, you were like, laughed at. I mean, it was a joke. You barely would make a roster. Now, an ERA of 3.7, a 4, or even 4.25, anything like that, you're considered a great pitcher or a very good pitcher. Exactly. That's me laughing at Lackey. Imagine if Lackey had an ERA of 4.5. Imagine that. But the same thing to me is what was happening in the NFL. They're just, the offenses are just so powerful. There's so many good players. I don't care what defenses are being thrown out there. Now, that being said, when I see Scott Chandler open and nobody around him and you know, he's all alone on an island, that makes me angry. That's the kind of play that I get upset about, very upset about. And whether it was Spikes, I still think it was Spikes who was supposed to cover him on that play, or whoever else was supposed to be there, Sergio Brown or whatever, or Brad, or whoever was supposed to be there, or Barrett. Somebody missed an aside. Those are the kind of defensive plays that bother the crap out of me, is that. I can almost deal with some of the stuff I can deal with. I know people are crapping all over McCourty now and all that stuff, and I understand. I get it, you know, and Bodden too. I mean, it's frustrating sometimes. But at least, I mean, the guys may beat them, but at least, they're, you know, they're kind of there. When I see Chandler, who I was afraid of, I mentioned him last week, sitting there alone, unscathed, untouched, for like 10 seconds sitting there in the end zone, those are the plays that bother me. That's the stuff that has to be corrected. So, there you have it. Let's get some of these emails. Enough of me rambling on here. You know how I feel, and you know how I feel about the NFL in general, about 9 or 10 weeks before you can start judging a team. And I know emotions run high right after a game, and especially after a loss. And it's real easy to just point fingers at this one or that one instead of pointing it at, like, 20 guys. The quarterback turned the ball over 4 times, unfortunately. It directly led to 24 points. 24 points off 4 turnovers. End of story. That is the number one factor of why the Patriots lost on Sunday. Granted, they barely lost, but a loss is a loss. 4 turnovers, 24 points. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 29 at area code. Excuse me, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Let's check in on the webmail at patriots.com. Check in with Mike in Virginia, formerly of Mass, says, Pete, I agree with you in that the world's not ending because of the game. I think the issue is when we lose, it's always because of something dramatic. Four interceptions with Bills, Brady running for his life against the Jets, Hillis setting rushing records against us. What I'm saying, it's never a good showing versus another good showing with the other team coming out on top. What do you think? By the way, Arrington is leading the league in passes defended with 8 and with 3 interceptions. Haha. Thanks, Mike in Virginia. Yeah, I mean, I wish we could play the. I wish we could read the emails after last year's loss against Cleveland, because I don't know. 90% of you didn't think they were going to win to Pittsburgh and win, and I kept telling you they're going to go into Pittsburgh and probably win bigger than you think, because they've done that a lot over the years. That's what they do. They don't panic. This team does not panic, and even in that game on Sunday, they didn't panic. They looked bad at times. They didn't panic. I didn't think they panicked at all. They made a nice drive to tie the game. Marched right down the field. My friend Big Luigi in the North End. Hey, brother, the show is awesome. I finally have some downtime to listen. Defense, defense, defense is what the Pats need. Talk to you later, Big Lou. Well, yeah, defense is part of what they need. They also need not to turn the ball over on offense 4 times. 4 times it led to 24 points. I don't know why that's such a hard concept for a lot of people to figure out. One was a pick six, and 24 points. As I said, there are a lot of things on defense you can criticize. Like I said, Chandler wide open. You can criticize McCourty and Bodden. Absolutely. I didn't think they had good games at all. I expected better this week. I certainly expected. I tell you what I didn't expect, and I talked about this on last week, was Stevie Johnson getting 94 yards on 8 catches while battling a groin injury all weekend, a touchdown. That I did not expect. That kind of threw that. That more than anything was surprising to me. So, yeah, I mean, I had concerns. I knew, Kevin called it early in the week. He was in the locker room. He said Patrick Chung wasn't going to play. He didn't, even though he tried. Rozay Dowling suited up, tried to, in warm-ups, tried to get out there. Just didn't happen. Just didn't happen. Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. Hi, Pete and Kevin. I found a great way of forgetting about the Patriots losing to Buffalo. I watched the Jets losing to Oakland on NFL Rewind, and you know I feel pretty good now. If Vince did not get that unsportsmanlike penalty at the end, could Buffalo have run the clock out, and would Tom have time to come back? No. What McCourty made the stop, and I know the play you're talking about, but yeah, that didn't help. But McCourty had a chance. Well, it was an instinctive tackle that he made. Was on Jackson, I think, at the end, stopping him at the 1 foot line. Yeah, and that was just instinctive. I mean, I'm sure if he had to do it all over again, he would have let him score. The Patriots would have had like 1:38 to score, come back down and score. And the way they were throwing the ball, you know, does anybody think Buffalo was going to stop him? Although, I mean, Brady did have 4 picks, but I think they would have a reasonably good chance. The Patriots right there to tie that game. Chris says, hey, Pete, I got to agree with you. It's as agonizing as it was watching the game on Sunday. I can't believe how many people are claiming that the sky is falling. This is the problem with having a perfect regular season. Now, anytime there's a loss, we start to panic. How absurd. Everyone has a bad day, and clearly Brady had one. Part of what made our Super Bowl teams great was their ability to adapt their games to their players' strengths, evaluate the competition accordingly, find the matchups, and execute. I think they've continued to do that more or less through the Brady-Belichick era. It's just so difficult to win a championship. Come on now. There are 31 other teams vying for the same prize. Now, that being said, I also must admit that there is room for improvement on D. No question. What has happened to McCourty? He got burnt too many times. Definitely our secondary needs to get it together. Anyway, I'm ready to move on to Oakland. We'll see Buffalo again, and I'm still confident when they come to our house. I agree totally. No, I'm with you. I'm with you, Chris. And I just mentioned all those things you did, too, before, about McCourty and Bodden and the secondary. Of course they have to play better. Of course they do. I just, you know, right now, the Pats are giving up 26.3 points per game. And I'm going to go on record saying, you know what? By the end of the season, it'll be much lower than that, okay? It's week three. It's week three. And I know people in Green Bay have been complaining about some of their secondary and all that stuff, and in New Orleans, and they're giving up a ton of points, too. Even though they're scoring points, they're giving up a ton of points. There's a lot of teams in the same boat. How about San Diego? Now this is interesting, Kevin. What do you think the reaction? Say the Patriots went into a game on Sunday against a team playing as pathetic as Kansas City was, and at home, and just eked out a win, like San Diego did on Sunday. Why do I think that there would actually be more complaints about that than the Patriots losing the way they did in Buffalo? Or just as many, I should say. Just as many.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
But see, that's the thing. But every game is different. You think in San Diego that this week that they should be, you know, ripping the offense, or because Kansas City had given it previously, average of over 40 points a game? And the Chargers scored, 20, what is it, 21 or 24?
They scored 20. It was 20-17.
20-17. Now, I guarantee you that their offense this week is going to take a lot of crap. Probably unnecessarily. A lot of it unnecessarily. They had some bang, they had some injuries there too. But it's because, you know, because Kansas City played so awful the 2 weeks prior to that. And they had to give San Diego a game on Sunday. You know, and I thought they would. And then they nearly pulled it out. See, there's actually a thing called pride in the NFL. A lot of teams still have it. They may not win, but a lot of teams still have it. That's why I think you have to be very careful. The Steelers almost fell into that same trap too. You know, because Indianapolis could have won that game on Sunday night. That was ugly. That was ugly.
Probably should have won that game.
They probably should have. If it wasn't for that fumble that Polamalu returned for a touchdown, it might have been a different outcome there. But that's not the case. The Steelers were better. They made plays when they had to, and that's why they won the game. And Buffalo made a couple more plays than the Patriots did on Sunday. And that's why they won the game. But I'm just telling you, this week, had the Patriots played a team like Kansas City at home and won 20-17, I guarantee most of you would be bitching about the same thing. You'd find something to bitch about. They didn't win by enough. This, that, and the other thing. See, it's no longer acceptable to win 20. You can't win 20-17 anymore in the NFL. Can't do that against bad teams. Not acceptable. I just don't think people they don't understand how difficult it is to win a game in the NFL. Forget about winning on the road. It's hard. I know it looks easy at times, but it's freaking hard. You ask any player, they'll tell you. It's not just a cakewalk. You don't just show up on the field and win the game. You don't. Those days are over. So, I'm just have to, you know, just consider a few things before we go crazy in week three because I lost by 3 points to Buffalo. Life isn't over. Michael says, hey, Pete, thanks for keeping it real. I've been hearing a bunch of crapola with cornflakes. Talk about how Brady's done and Belichick has to go. Now, I don't know who said Brady's done and Belichick has to go, but anybody who says that is, stupid supreme. Or this is my favorite one. Oh, the Pats don't have the killer instinct. Here's my question to the ones making all this noise, because it's not sense. Are you freaking serious? After a loss like Sunday against the Bills, I'd be surprised if the Patriots D at the very least had lost 15 points to the Raiders. Talking about a killer instinct, if you're a fair weather fan out there, are really thinking the season's over after 3 weeks, then go give the mouth Rex Ryan a snack and jump on his bandwagon to watching the Patriots in the Super Bowl against the Packers.
Let's eat a goddamn snack.
Exactly. We'll get to him in a second. I've known this team before Belichick and Brady ever got there, and I'm telling you now, yes, damn it, the Patriots are pissed and looking for blood against anyone else in their path back to the Super Bowl, and you fair-weather fans are either with us or against us. Belichick will make sure that Buffalo remembers forever the day they awoke the sleeping giant that is New England when they come to the razor and get shaved bald by General Belichick and Colonel Brady. Thanks again, my friend, for keeping it real. Give them hell, Pats. Yeah, I think it will be interesting. They play on what? Is that the Christmas Eve game or New Year's Day? I forget.
I think it's New Year's Day.
Because I know Miami and Buffalo are the last two games of the year.
I think Miami, Buffalo is the last game of the year.
Yeah.
1 o'clock on New Year's Day.
Yeah. It may end up being a different story. But who, I don't know. The Bills may end up being
a team.
Scary.
That could be for the division, Pete.
Maybe. Maybe. I'm still not sure. Buffalo still has a lot more to prove to me. Because, like I said, I've seen upstart teams before get off to 4-0, 5-0, 6-0 starts and miss the playoffs. I mean, if you remember after the Patriots lost to Denver out there in 08, and that was the Matt Castle, it was still a game that they should have won. They just self-destructed. They turned the ball over twice, like in the last 4 minutes, and just really – or 09, I'm sorry, it was 09. 09. And McDaniel is – club gets out to a 6-0 start, and they miss the playoffs. They miss the playoffs. They went 2-10 the rest of the way. I think they finished 6-10, didn't they? I think they went 2-10 the rest of the way. I'm sorry, 8-8 or 7-9. I forget what it was. I have to look it up. But it was either 500 or below 500, I think. 8-8, 7-9, something around that. Steven says, Pete, I already broke down the loss to the Bills and John Rook, so I'm going to look ahead to the next five games with you. Okay, Raiders. After the Bills loss, I see a beating coming from the Raiders. Jets and Cowboys at home. I really feel good about both of those. The bye week and then the Steelers in their house and the Giants at home. Of all these games to come, the Jets, as always, are the big concern. Not that I'm writing any of these off as easy. Oh, in case you missed it, Rook said you were good for the wings for the Rook said, you were good for the wings for the gallon of Dave's ultimate insanity. I'm sending your way to be shared with the rest of the amazing Pat's radio crew. So here is the to bring the heat on D and devouring the opponents to come. Keep up the good work, Steve Robertson.
Yeah, Steve was saying he was going to send up some, like, real hot sauce from Texas.
Sounds good.
And that we were going to make some wings, and maybe one day we'll make some wings and bring them in.
Sounds good. So I'm trying to read this email right. He says, Raiders, I see a beating coming for the Raiders. Okay, a beating coming for the Raiders. Yeah, I think if you really look at it over the years and you see what happens, and I'm sure the Patriots would like to be playing this game right now. I promise you that. I promise you you're going to see a pretty damn good effort coming up on Sunday on both sides of the ball. And I know by the end of the week, McFadden will have rushed for 10,000 yards before Sunday's game against the Patriots, but not so fast. Not so fast. All right, 508. 298-0398, that's the number on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. We're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Going to take a quick break. Wow, it's already 4:45. Where have I been? I'm way behind. But I got a lot of Facebook messages to read and more webmail radio. Trust me, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I've been around this team long enough to know. I know what I know. And I can tell you what's coming up this week for the Raiders in Oakland, and it's going to be freaking pain because they ain't ready yet to face this team. Believe me, I am telling you, it's going to happen. And it's going to happen. If I'm the Raiders this week, I would be very, very wary of opening my mouth. Which has already happened because Rolando McClain, their linebacker, has called the team a finesse team. And translation, maybe people are taking it as kind of a sissy type of team, soft team, whatever term you want to put. Big, big mistake. Big mistake. I've seen it too many times in the past. So for you Oakland Raiders fans out there this Sunday, get ready for the pain. Because I just feel bad for any team that has to play this one coming out. And I'll bring it up all week long. I'll go back to the Pittsburgh game. Not the first time. They've had a bad loss. And they come out firing. I mean, they kicked Pittsburgh ass up and down that field last year from the get-go after that Cleveland loss. Arguably their worst game of the year was against Cleveland. And they responded with one of the best games of the year. That's what they do. Deal with it. All right, we're back in the Pete Shepherd Show right after this.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries, or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And back here on the Pete Shepherd Show right here on Patriots.com. We do it every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for your listening pleasure from 4 to 6 p.m. Interesting couple stories, and I know the Patriots and Bills are the biggest talk, and everybody looking ahead to the Raiders, and more on that in a second. But as always, we like to keep our eye on what's happening in New York and New Jersey with Sexy Rexy and the Jets. And it was interesting. Joe Namath, in case you missed it, made some comments on Michael Kay's show, I believe. Was it today or yesterday? And in case you didn't hear, I mean, if you heard Rex last week, he was mouthing off, as I said, talking stupid, talking about how the Raiders can help beat the Patriots and that he didn't have to prepare. I know a lot of that is just BS, but, you know, this guy, I told you, this guy's mouth is just going to get him in trouble. I think it's already starting. Not that the Jets won't make the playoffs, but, you know,
let's make sure we play like the New York Jets and not some slap team.
They can't afford to have the quarterback play the way their quarterback played. See, the Patriots, say what you want about Brady and the four picks, they were still right there in the end. Sanchez plays like he did, and they get killed. They just don't have it. Not even close. There's a lot less leeway for the Jets to screw up than the Patriots. So, Rex was running his mouth and this, that, and the other thing. And Joe Namath was on the Michael Kay show on ESPN in New York.
And then I have Rex's response, too.
Okay. So well, here's in case you missed it, here's what Mr. Alabama said about Rex Ryan and the Jets.
It's disheartening, so to speak. It's rather alarming, is the way I'm looking at it. For Coach Rex Ryan, he's been doing a great job, of course, getting the team to two division conference championship games. But there's one thing about the athlete, man. You keep telling him how good he is. He's going to start believing it to the point that he may not be preparing quite the way he should. That's a little scary. Again, I think these guys might be believing that they're better than they are.
You know, the great thing is I'm confident with our football team. There's no question about it. And, you know, I think I've told you this many times. I've never gone into a game I didn't think I'd win. Haven't won them all, but I certainly think we can and will. I'm not going to change who I am because Joe Namath said something. You know, Joe Namath can come in here, and if he can still throw, we'll have him as a backup quarterback. But you know what? He doesn't know our team. You know, he's out. He's on the outside. You know, even though he's a Jet, and once you're a Jet, you're always a Jet. But he's on the outside. He's not in these meetings. I think if he was, he'd be shocked at the preparation.
Really? Really? Hmm. Shocked at the preparation. There's also another part. Let me see. But there's another part of the quote in here. I'm trying to find it for you from Joe. Let me see if I can find it here. And then there's... Anyway, regardless of that, I mean, I understand both sides there. But Rex Ryan has to understand, I think that's what the league perception is of him. Not that perception is reality. We talk about that all the time as well. Okay? But you haven't won anything. And that's the other part. That's what Joe was saying. He goes, you haven't won anything yet. And you haven't. Yeah, okay, you beat the Patriots in the playoff game last year. Okay. All right, and in 20 years, no one's going to remember that. I mean, I'll remember it. I remember it every day. But most football fans are not going to care, Rex. It's beyond arrogance and ignorance. Your team isn't talented enough. How about that? Your team is not talented enough to overcome your fat, big mouth. That's really what it comes down to. Your team isn't talented enough to overcome your stupid predictions. Seriously. So maybe if you shut it, you wouldn't look like a jackass like you did this week. You know, even off-the-cuff remarks about having the Raiders help the Patriots and this, that, and the other thing. And
that's being a jackass.
Yeah, exactly. You were a jackass last week. Your team lost. Because your team isn't talented enough to overcome your fat, big mouth. That's what it comes down to. Don't talk to me about being prepared. I saw your team against Jacksonville, and that team looked like, I'll tell you, you're lucky if they had played anybody with half a brain and any kind of talent two Sundays ago, they would have lost that game too. That team didn't look prepared against Jacksonville. Jacksonville just sucked. That game was close for a half into three quarters before it got really out of hand. So take my advice, Sexy Rexy. Even though you won't, you'll never be quiet. You'll never shut up, and that's why you're never going to win. That guy will never win a Super Bowl.
Really beautiful, see?
Never. Oh God, I always forget about that. Try to block it out.
Oh, you don't have to put your feet in. You can leave, Matt.
Yeah. Thanks.
But most men like to do a lot of things with those people.
Oh, God, that is just... Isn't that just one of the most disturbing things ever?
Yeah, smell.
Oh, God! It's
Stop!
Thank you. Do you mind if I touch them?
I do!
Is it okay to touch them again?
No, I tell you, Kevin, you're making me sick. Honest to God, I'm going to puke. I really am going to puke. Let me read a couple of these Facebook messages. We'll hear from Bill Belichick next hour. I'm going to read a couple of Facebook messages and then back to web radio and so much. And again, if you want to call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, it's event 508-298-0398. It's okay. Yeah, I'm not saying anyone has to agree with me. Everybody has their own assessment, their own opinions. All I'm saying is don't get so carried away one way or the other. There's just a long way to go. You can't just go. We seem to just, like I said, every week it seems to be pass or fail. There's no gray area. The whole league is about gray area. And you can say whatever you want about the Patriots and their lack of production in some areas and this, that, and the other thing, blah, blah, blah. What they have and other teams don't have is they have the best player in the league, which is Tom Brady. When I heard two nitwits on some national radio show last night, it wasn't ESPN radio, it might have been Fox, the Fox radio show. It's talking about Andre Johnson being the best player in the NFL. I mean, if you heard these two bubbleheads talking, you know, it was just crazy. I was listening last night on the way home. It was like around 12:15, 12:30. And I'm just laughing at the radio. Jake on Facebook says, Pete, I'm becoming very frustrated with Vince Wilfork's decision-making. He has made some of the dumbest penalties I've ever seen. It seems like his hothead on the field. He also made questionable personal decisions while at the U. Get less about that. I can't even remember back when he played at Miami. I think if you're playing that much to someone, he needs to be a leader. Patrick Chung is the only potential leader I see on D. I disagree with you, Jake. I understand about being frustrated on penalties. I agree. Totally. No need for unnecessary penalties sometimes. Logan Mankins has been getting some tiffs lately, too, a couple of times. But Wilfork, trust me, is a leader on defense. Mayo's a leader on defense. Patrick Chung is going to be a leader on defense, up and coming. Week 3, my friends. Shane says, Pete, will you be worried if they lose to the Raiders and the Jets? Will I be worried? Yeah, I'd be worried. If they lose this game in Oakland this week, it'll floor me beyond belief. Absolutely floor me beyond belief. They're not going to lose this week in Oakland. I would be absolutely shocked because I've seen this team respond too many times before. Now, if they win in Oakland and come here and they play a tough game I always expect tough games against the Jets, regardless of what I say about big fat mouth Rex Ryan and all this BS, you know, no one expected 45-3 last year when the Patriots, you know, destroyed them. Nor did anybody expect the Patriots to lose here in Foxborough in the playoff game. I think you're usually going to expect a hard-fought, close game. So if they play the Jets tough and everything, it's tied and it's a field goal game. Now, I think the Patriots, the way the Jets are playing right now and the way the Patriots are playing right now, again, it's only week 3. We'll know more in a couple weeks when they play each other. But I think that the Jets came. It's too bad. I wish the Jets would come into Foxborough this Sunday because that would be something to see the Patriots come up after a loss like that. And play the Jets, because I would feel bad. Like I said, I'd feel bad for any team this week that has to play the Patriots. Well, but what if they lose to the Raiders and the Jets? Am I going to sit here and, again, panic? No. But I just don't expect it. I don't expect it. I don't expect this team to, like I said, 13-3, 14-2. I stand by it. They're too talented. Regardless of what you may think now, regarding one aspect of the game, most of you for the defense, I'm not just going to go crazy in week 3. Kevin says, Pete, I know it's only the third game of the year. Lots of football to be played. Lockout, blah, blah, blah. The defense has not only not improved over last year, it has regressed. If Brady and the offense don't put up video game numbers in the game, we lose. Okay, well, how about those video game numbers as far as on offense for 4 interceptions? Why is it that when people make analyze a team, they don't put that in? Go look at what the 4 turnovers led to. That's a big part of it. I understand your frustration on defense. Some of what you say is valid right now. No question about it. I've already mentioned McCourty and Bodden. You have to take into consideration Chung didn't play. There was a bad call in the end zone on Sergio Brown. It was a bad call by the official. You know, things like that change, but I'm not going to sit and blame a loss on the officials. They turned the ball over on offense four times. That's why, that is the main ingredient of why they lost this game. Let's see what else we get here. Michael says, Pete, can I listen on my iPhone? They can, right, Kevin? Yeah, you can listen on the iPhone. Someone actually posted last week on how to do all that stuff.
Yeah, there's like a new app that you have to get.
Yeah. But if you look at my older post, somebody had to put it there last week. Ken says, where, Pete, has the where is Darren Sharper question been answered? Well, it keeps being asked. I don't know if it's going to be answered anytime soon. Maybe. I know John had addressed that today as well. I don't know. I do not know. Let's see. Tiff says, in Wisconsin, we love Tiffany. Thanks for helping me out of my depression. Question, wouldn't you agree that Shane Vereen should have been utilized more than he was? I had a bigger problem with the offense play calling than anything else. The law firm wasn't able to get any significant yardage all day. I'm not sure why O'Brien stayed with that. By the way, what a jerk Fitzpatrick is. He's talking way too much trash. I thought they won the Super Bowl or something. He complains about three times Super Bowl winning quarterback not shaking hands after a weak loss. He complained about being attacked while underneath the pile. Who does that? Does he think he's the new Brady or something? When Brady wins, he doesn't attack the other team's defense or attack the opposing quarterback. I don't blame Brady for not shaking that jerk's hand. I'm so sick of him and that Harvard BS. Was he a Harvard man last year or just this year? Regards, Tiff from Wisconsin. Well, as far as the handshake thing goes, everybody who's listened to me over the years on the radio and on this show the last couple of years knows how I feel about handshakes, which I just don't give a crap. And you saw what I thought was very interesting in A Football Life with Bill Belichick that's aired the last two Thursdays. If you haven't seen it, is particularly going back to that game against Josh McDaniels in December. They met at the field before the game. And Bill said to him, look, it's going to get crazy at the end. He goes, let's just make this post-game handshake now. I'll give you a wave after, and good luck today, that kind of a thing. But see, a lot of the mainstream media don't understand it. So they have this overreaction at the end of the game that Belichick is sniding McDaniel because they lost a tough game in Denver that year, this, that, and the other thing, when three and a half hours before the game, they had both agreed that it was just going to be chaos and stupid, and why go through it? We'll just, you know, I'll talk to you later. And good luck today. That's all. And the Fitzpatrick thing, when he was on the Dan Patrick show earlier today, and the only part I heard about, I didn't hear much about the handshake, but I heard about him talking about what happens underneath the pile. Well, that's true. I mean, working with Freddie and Steve for years, and they told me horror stories about what happens in piles underneath, and Zoe too, you know, and Jermaine Wiggins, and I've heard all their stories. For a lot of them, and it's not a pretty sight. It's not some place you want to be. Not a place for women and children underneath the pile of eight guys, especially after a fumble or something. It's not good. The probing and prodding and general mashing of the units, shall we say, that goes on underneath those piles. It's not good. It's just not good. Josh in D.C. says, Pete, I've heard a lot of fans complain about the ATS continuing to press for the score through the air instead of trying to bring the clock later in the game. This has anything to do with Mesko's status. I was not able to watch the game and forgot to check on punting, and the stats might make sense. They trust the pass most. Thanks, your attorney, Josh in D.C. Well, Mesko had a great game. Mesko had a fine game. We'd never even known it. So that wasn't the problem. And, you know, that's the other thing I get upset about, too, is all now the offense – the way now the offense should run the clock out more. They shouldn't score so quickly, you know. We're tired of winning. You know, we're tired of winning 38-15 or 38-20 or whatever it is. No, I'd rather win. You know, let's win 20-14. I swear to God. I mean, maybe it's because I had season tickets here when they were so bad. And maybe it's because my first year covering this team was with Rod Russ coaching and the Lisa Olsen incident and all that stuff. And I have a long-term memory when it comes to this team. But I swear to God, you know, there were games where they couldn't score 30 points in a season. There were years. And now they're scoring too many. I mean, just put it in perspective sometimes. Just have a sense of history of where the hell this franchise was and where they go and how far they've come. And now we get people complaining that they score too quickly. It's just infuriating. It's just infuriating. In some way, shape, or form, every week it seems that the team's win is not sexy enough for somebody. Just win the goddamn game. And the rest will take care of itself. Put the W up on the scoreboard. You think San Diego gives a rat's ass that they only won 20-17 against Kansas City, even though Kansas City looked like crap for 2 weeks in a row? Do you think, you think the guys in that locker room are like, oh, God, we only beat Kansas City by three? It's just not the way the league works. You can't win every game by a certain margin. People have it in their minds that if they don't win 34-20, if they don't win 38-10, if the defense gives up this much yards and that, and it's just this one big blanket statement. And it's not just around here. It happens all over the place. It infuriates me. You guys don't watch enough of the games around the rest of the league. What other team out there do you think is having this perfect season so far? Anybody? Any team out there having a great season so far after week three? Of course not, because it's a week three. Everybody has some issues. And you can say what you want about the Patriots. Their issues are far less than what you think. They got one of the best offenses this NFL has ever seen. And don't talk to me about, no, defenses win championship. You know what? Baloney. Those days are done. So if the Patriots score 35 points a game and give up 27 points a game, you're going to be upset if they win the Super Bowl because they didn't give up less than 20 points a game? I don't care. All I want is the W. Just get it done. Get it done. The days of the 2000 Ravens or the 85 Bears or the Cowboys in the 90s, those defenses, even the 03, that's not happening anymore. Those days are done. Now, they have to get better on defense. Don't get me wrong. I know they will. They have to get better. I'm sick and tired of blanket statements. Just get the W. Forget the sexiness of the win at times, people. Get the win. It's hard to win in the NFL. I don't know why people don't get that. They get some cakewalk. The Patriots step on the field and they should win by 30. It's hard. As talented as they are, it's hard to win a game in the NFL. Just, like I said, I'm sure there are people in San Diego this week bitching about them beating the Kansas City Chiefs by three.
Go yourself, yeah. San Diego.
Seriously. I just think we all need to put everything in perspective here because, when I hear things about them scoring too quickly and they need to change the way their offense is on the field to allow the defense to get breathers, it makes me sick to my stomach. I covered this team. They couldn't score 30 points in 5 weeks. You think I'm lying?
You want to talk about having the right to bitch, Pete?
Yeah.
How about these poor baseball fans whose season is on the line tonight and Jed Lowry's batting cleanup?
Is that the lineup tonight?
In a lineup that includes Darnell McDonald and Ryan LaVarnway and Jed Lowry hitting cleanup.
What is up with that? Why isn't Petey batting cleanup?
I don't know. I just read the lineup, and I was like, talk about having a right to pitch. That's unbelievable.
Something's obviously not right. It's got to be injury factors or something.
It's Ellsbury, Pedroia, Ortiz, Lowry, Gonzalez, LaVarnway, McDonald, Crawford, and Scudero. That's your lineup for a must-win game.
Well, even that lineup, I have no doubt they're going to score six or seven runs tonight. I can promise you that.
Bedard on the hill.
That's the big question. Bedard on the hill. They can win the game 14-13 for all I care. Just win the game.
Yep. you were right. I think you put it into perspective about, I think a lot of our fans may be spoiled.
Well, they're completely spoiled. A lot of them are a bunch of spoiled brats. And I know it's some of the younger ones who don't get it. But, I'm telling you. I wish I could play back some of my old tapes that got stolen a long time ago. If I ever played back some of the press conferences with Rod Russ when he was head coach here, who was a very good defensive coach, by the way, was just one of the most awful head coaches I've ever had to deal with in my life. And I was young at the time. I was in my early 20s when I was first covering this team down here. Yeah. And it was just like, it was brutal to see those teams play back then. Late 80s, early 90s. It was brutal. And now I got people telling me they scored too quickly. They didn't. I went through 6 weeks here. They didn't score 30 points in 6 weeks. Now they're telling me they scored too much. I don't know. I understand. People, that's why they're fans. They get fanatical. It gets crazy sometimes. But as I said, just consider a lot of, as a football fan, just look around the league. Look at all the teams. Look at the problems that everybody has. When you see some of the problems of some of these other teams and you look at the Patriots, all of a sudden, it doesn't look as bad as you might think. Doesn't look as bad as you might think. All right, email me, webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And, call, of course, you can email me at webradiopatriots.com and Facebook as well, PETSHEPPARD. Lots more emails to read. Take your phone calls and more Facebook stuff. All part of the second hour of the Pete Shepherd Show right here on patriots.com.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
God almighty. As I said, they are not talented enough to overcome Rex Ryan's stupid gawking mouth. And that's why they got into trouble on Sunday because, you know, if Sanchez has to play, to me, against decent teams, if Sanchez doesn't play very good football, they lose. He can't have even a semi-bad game because they're not talented enough on offense to hang in. They're just not. We'll see. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Going to head to the phones right now. Check in with Chris in Atlanta. Did I just drop him? I did. My fault, Chris. Call back. I can't. You know why? I'm thinking red is. I should know red means.
He'll get
drop.
Back. He heard you.
I know. But call back, Chris. That's my fault. But real quickly, Kevin. Talk to me about this. I saw stuff on Bruce Allen's website earlier this week about people had tweeted about, and I've heard it now from other sources. What was this partying going on in the press box from Buffalo Bills media? What the hell was going on? There was a freaking Mardi Gras in the press box.
Yeah, there was some clapping going on from what I hear.
Clapping. And I heard one guy said. One guy tweeted. He stood up and yelled, "Take that, New England!"
Yeah, the thing that I was surprised to see is I headed in there to I kind of made the rounds, Pete. I was in the suite for part of the game. I was in the press box for part of the game. I was in the field.
How was the shrimp and the caviar?
I did not have any, actually. And the food in the suite was actually awful. So.
Really?
It wasn't anything
Well, it was Buffalo.
Special.
What did they have in Buffalo besides wings?
They didn't even have wings. It was like it was like chicken fingers.
Oh,
it was sacrilege.
Gross.
The best thing I had there, Pete, was roast beef. It was really good.
Oh, that's cool.
But anyway, I made my way into the press box, and you never see guys, at least in my travels, I've never seen guys in a press box at an NFL game wearing the home team's jersey. Like, and I get it, you may not be a member of the press, and that's fine, it's your right to wear a jersey to the game, but what are you doing eating in the press box?
No, you don't, that should never be allowed.
How do you get credentialed to get into the press
box? That should never be allowed.
You're walking around wearing a Stevie Johnson or a Fitzpatrick jersey.
Sometimes there's some relative or somebody on the team or something,
And it's like, I go in there and they're wandering around the press box, and I go in the bathroom to wash my hands, and there's a guy in there taking a leak who's probably four or five beers deep. And it's
didn't
like,
wash his hands.
What's happening?
From
here?
The press box, drinking
in
beers.
In the press box.
Yeah. Wow. Unbelievable. I just heard horror stories. I heard anything like that. I do remember covering the Patriots one time in here, and they were playing the Chiefs, and
it's a joke. It's a joke.
Patriots were killing them. This was a Pete Carroll game. They were really killing Kansas City up and down the field. It was like 41-14. Bledsoe was having a great day. And I remember this idiot from the Chiefs was sitting in the front row where the the guys who travel with the team sat, and he's taunting one of the Patriot fans outside the window with all this ridiculous, stupid stuff. And I remember he was asked to leave. I do remember that. That was like in 1996 or 7.
Yeah, I can definitely say it wasn't one of the more professional crowds I've seen.
Yeah.
But we have Chris back from Atlanta.
All right. Let's go to Chris in Atlanta. You're next in the Pete Shepard Show. Hey, Chris. Sorry about cutting you off, buddy.
Hi. How you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
All right. I agree on everything you're saying about, you know, what they're
saying
about the
Chris,
Patriots.
Do me a favor. Chris, turn the computer down in the background.
Do me a favor.
I just love hearing Kevin twice. It just makes me feel tingling.
I agree on everything you're saying about what they say about the Patriots, about me being spoiled. I agree. But a lot of things I see in the NFL is not this year is not a dominant team yet. I think the offense on defense, I think the not having an offseason, you know what I'm saying, practice all the offense is in the head of the defense right now. It's just going to take a couple of weeks for us to catch up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I talked about that in week one. That would probably be the case. But I'll just tell you this. Like I said, I just think offenses now, and again, in 10 years, it may revert back to what it was 20 years ago or 15 years ago. But Parcells a couple of weeks ago on NFL Countdown made a great statement about how these offenses and a lot of these kids, they're learning at such a young age, at junior high and high school, learning these spread offensive formations. They are so much more able to adapt to it. You can see it at the Division I level. And then when they get to the pros, it's just, I mean, they get it. I mean, and you look at all, it's not just the pay, you look at all the points that are being scored in the league. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I do think it's because it's become a passing league. I think we all know that now. If you don't have a quarterback that can throw the ball, you're not going to win. But I do think a lot of it, I think it's starting at the high school, junior high level. And these kids, a lot of them are going to get to Division I. I mean, they are much more prepared now than they were 20 years ago for this kind of a league.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I mean, yeah, I do expect the defenses to catch up somewhat. I mean, certainly the Patriots defense I know is going to get better. I know the Packers defense is going to get better. And the New Orleans defense will probably get better. You know, I understand that. But it's week three. That's why. And I don't go crazy in week three.
Yeah, I'm just calling them. I'm with them all the way. And I'm a Tom Brady and the Patriots fan. And what you think about Teddy Bruschi being so hard on us, man?
Well, I understand where Teddy was coming from. I don't know if you heard Tom Brady on EEI on Monday, but he kind of let Teddy have it about, you know, and Teddy's a real good friend of Tom's, believe me. They're very close. And he said, you know, he goes, well, you know, Bruschi's not in the locker room now. He doesn't know what our team is about like this and that and the other thing. I understand where both guys were coming from. I understand Bruschi was more upset about the tweet than he was about Ocho Cinco's performance. That's the thing. I think it's the tweeting that upset him more than anything. But I think in the grand scheme of things, I think it's a pretty much overblown, overhyped story. Media loves that crap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it gets a little overblown. I saw Teddy last week. I talked to him for like 20 minutes before he went on to do his podcast on ESPN. And we were laughing about it because he walked in right as I was turning the Patriots Football Weekly and had this huge two-page spread about Teddy and his comments. And I go, see? I said, see what you do with this crap? I said, now I have to talk about you instead of talking about the Patriots. He was laughing. You know, but,
yeah.
But
I want to go in and show the Jets how we can beat the Raiders and we can go ahead and get back on track. I think we can do it this week.
I think the Raiders are in for a very, very difficult time. I've seen this Patriot team come out after losses and annihilate teams on the road a lot of times. So I think the Raiders are in big, big trouble. I really do.
All right, then. Y'all have a nice game. Go Pack.
All right, Chris. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. That's our that's Chris from Atlanta. Actually, I wanted to ask him about the Falcons, what the talk is down there. But again, that's a tough week, and that's my one stupid pick I made. I should have looked at it better, even though I went 12-4 last week on my picks, by the way, including my Green Bay Packer Pete the Meat Miraculous pick, which is now 3-0 on the season. But I'll do my picks later. But I'm always very skeptical of a team that plays on Sunday night or Monday night and has to travel on the road the next week. I really am. And I should have realized, you know, Tampa may be a better team than we all thought at the beginning of the season. It's going to be interesting to see how the and how's that? What's that team they call in Philadelphia? Let me get. I'm trying to. You know, I'm having a brain fart. I'm having brain amnesia. I'm having hysterical amnesia here. Something about a nightmare team. There's something about dreamscape or what did they call? What did they call the Eagles? All this year, were they supposed to? Oh, the dream team. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Good luck. The dream team. Yeah. And it was so funny this week because I picked the Giants to cover that game, and I'm not surprised. I'm a little surprised they won. Not surprised they won as soon as Michael Vick went down, because he goes down, they're dead. I mean, they got nothing. But I mean, everybody on the planet seemed to think the Eagles were going to just romp in this game and blah blah blah. I told people all week long, do not underestimate the Giants at this spot in this game. You know, it's that pride factor again I talk about. Nothing is ever that obvious in the NFL. Nothing. I shouldn't say nothing. Very few times. That's why I thought the Chiefs were going to cover that big line against San Diego. I did not think Pittsburgh would have that much difficulty with Indianapolis, and they did. I thought Indy would have a hard time scoring. They did. But then Pittsburgh just started giving up stupid plays. I mean, Kerry Collins. But they have issues. Packers have issues. New Orleans has some issues. Patriots have some. Everybody's got issues. So, I just think there's a lot less here in Foxborough than you might think. Because this offense can overcome a lot of defensive deficiencies. It can. And please don't bring up the Jet game last year. Because It's just so easy to say. And I was reading something today about the Patriots, how the Patriots defense didn't improve the second half of last year, which is absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. Go look at the points allowed the second half of last year. I think the second half, they allowed like 11 points a game, 12 points a game, something like that. Something ridiculous. So don't tell me that they didn't improve because there were so many blowouts and net yardage numbers piled up. Again, it's that whole 36 to 38 to 10 scenario. If they don't win by that much, can't be good. Gene in Daytona. Hi, Pete and Kevin. Is Rex Ryan still offering teams help on how to beat the Patriots? Do you think Big Al Davis in Oakland told his coach to make sure the Jets feel some pain?
Being a jackass.
That's right. If I can remember, I did see the Jets trainers trying to readjust Mark Sanchez's nose. Do you think the Jets got the message, or is Rex that dumb? I think it's a little bit of both. I bet Sanchez is begging to keep his mouth shut. Sorry, Mark, no chance of that happening. If Rex probably told you, just deal with it and go eat a goddamn cheeseburger. Do you think Rex is giving the Ravens any bulletin board material this week and maybe just pissing off Ray Lewis? I hope I get to see that game. Could be Mark will be riding off the field this week. It's tough cashing those checks, Rex keeps writing. I agree with you. Yeah, that's going to be a very difficult game for the Jets. They lost at home last year in a very close game. Expect a low-scoring game again this year, field goal game down there. You know, I have no doubt the Jets will probably play tough in that game. But as I said, Sanchez has to play really good every game. If he just plays mediocre, the Jets can't win, and they don't win. You talk about the Patriots playing a piss poor game on offense. And they put up a ton of points and a ton of yardage. But I consider it for them piss poor when they turn the ball over four times. You know, and again, three of the interceptions to me were, at least two of them were fluky. One was interesting with 85, if he ran the right route or not. And one was just a bad throw by Brady. But the Patriots have the talent to overcome stuff like that. They nearly did it. The Jets do not have that kind of talent to overcome a mediocre quarterback performance. They don't. And anytime Mark Sanchez plays mediocre to bad, they're going to lose. Even mediocre, they're going to have a tough time. So he's going to have to be excellent on that game Sunday night. Otherwise, the Jets are going to have another loss. And they'll be 2-2. And I'm sure they remember last year's opening game where they lost at home to Baltimore. But that was a long time ago, and each year is different. But I expect a hard fight. It'll be a good game Sunday night. I'm sure we'll all be looking forward to that. You know, Patriots first against the Raiders at 4. Red zone from 1-4, Patriots 4-7, and then a little break, and then a little dinner, and then the Jets in Baltimore. That's a great day. Nothing wrong with that. That's just a great day. Anyway, email me, webradio at patriot.com, webradio at patriot.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And you can Facebook me, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. I'm going to take another quick break. When we come back, probably hear from Bill Belichick, those of you who didn't hear it, and a couple of other amusing stories I'll tell you about as well. All coming up on the Pete Shepard Show on patriots.com.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Yo, 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 back here for another segment of the Pete Shepherd Show. We're here until 6 o'clock, broadcasting live at our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Also, Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. Well, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick was on earlier today via conference call with the Raiders media, right, Kev? So here's what Bill had to say today.
You know, we're on to Oakland here, and you know, big win for them. Really couple seconds away from being 3-0. So you know, they're a good football team. All three phases of the game, very explosive. Got a lot of big, fast guys playing with a lot of confidence. And of course, we're going out there on the road. So be a big challenge for us this week to get ready for the type of team that we're going to be facing.
You know, Bill, they run the ball like crazy. We spent a lot of time talking about, you know, the explosive pass attacks and how this is an unprecedented league in the year in passing and all this. Is this a rare team that is like a sort of an old school just a running team, I guess?
Well, they definitely like to run the ball. They got good backs, good offensive line. They emphasize it a lot. You can see they're pretty good at it, and those backs are really special, and they throw enough deep balls, and they do enough in the passing game to make you worry about that, too. You just can't just stop one thing. But they're certainly a very good running team, one of the best we'll face, and that'll be a big challenge for us.
You guys are heading out to the West Coast. Is there any? Is this going to be sort of normal as far as travel plans, or will it be maybe anything different because it's such a long trip?
Yeah, what we normally do going to the West Coast, yeah, shouldn't be anything we haven't done before that way.
Okay, so just head out on Saturday early and go like that.
We're actually leaving Friday after practice.
We've heard the concept of, you know, moving on each week, but when you're game planning for the following week, how much does a player's performance in the previous week go into it?
How much does it go into it? I mean, I really think each week's a new week. Each week presents new challenges, and sometimes the matchups from one week are more or less favorable than the week before. So, and again, a lot of times you never know exactly how a team's going to play anyway. So you have to be ready to make adjustments during the game. You know, you're going with an idea and you have some options. And then based on the way the game unfolds, sometimes it goes a little differently than the way you think it will once you see how it's going. So you try to just game playing wise, give yourself enough flexibility to be able to adapt and put your team in the best opportunity you can to be successful and be competitive. We have confidence in all the players on the team and whatever role they're asked to do, and so we'll put them in there and have them do it. If we didn't, then we'd have somebody else.
Bill, have you crossed paths very often with Hugh Jackson, and what do you see he's doing with his new team there?
No, I haven't. So, I mean, just, you know, looking at the team, they're obviously impressive and doing a lot of things well. So, but, you know, that was a strong team, you know, at the end of the season last year, actually all year. You know, they, you know, had a solid year and played very well in their division. So, you know, we studied them quite a bit in the off season to become familiar with them. So, I haven't played them since 08, and, you know, that's a good football team. It looks like you're getting better.
Bill, Rhonda McClain, one of the Raiders linebackers, was asked sort of to describe you guys, and he kind of called you guys a finesse team. I'm not, I don't know exactly how he meant it. What do you think when you hear a description like that?
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to ask him about it then. I don't really know what he meant or how he meant it or anything else. We're trying to be a winning team. That's what we're trying to be.
I know we talked about some of the running game, and they were successful against the Jets. And it is, but they, you know, they scored a lot of points on the Jets' defense. It's pretty good. Is there a specific way that they kind of attack things, or something that stood out as far as how they were able to be so productive against a pretty good unit?
Well, I think overall they had pretty good balance. They definitely ran it, and that opened up some things in the passing game. They kind of do what they usually do. You know, they mix in some gadget plays, some reverses, some things like that, along with their power running game, and do a good job in the passing game of getting the ball down the field, and you know, also getting it through their backs and underneath people too. So they make you defend the whole field, and you know, anytime you can be successful, you know, running the ball, that opens up the play action and the passing game and everything else. So it's good complementary football. They've done a good job of it.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
All right.
Oh, that was interesting.
Sounded like Coach was using a typewriter almost while he was doing that conference call.
Well, he could have been writing. Who knows? I mean, you saw some of those conference call part on the Patriot Life, football life, and
he was eating lunch and all sorts. Of stuff.
I think he was eating a fruit cup. By the way, if you haven't seen it, it's just fantastic. And part two was on last Thursday. It was just tremendous. The whole thing was just very well done. And if you haven't seen it, it's on NFL Network, A Football Life with Bill Belichick. It is very insightful. Lots of things that you never saw.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you a little snippet right here.
All right.
For the listeners, about a minute long.
Yeah.
And after this Bills game, you can kind of relate to what he's saying here.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, we got a long way to go. Got a long way to go. I'm telling you. We just have no mental toughness. We go on the road, we have no mental toughness. We can't play the game the way we need to play it. Just, it's not them either, it's totally us. Just totally us. We have to find a way here to be a tougher team when we get on the road.
Kicked our ass.
We sure did. I just can't get this team to play the way we need to play. I can't do it. It's so frustrating.
Man, not in the middle.
We do it in spurts. We just don't do it for four quarters.
No. And the tougher it gets, the less likely we are to do it.
That's really interesting. And that,
I
remember that was the game. He's talking to Tom Brady there on the sideline. That was the game against New Orleans back in 2009, in the year New Orleans won the Super Bowl. And I knew that week, that was going to be a tough week for them. I did not expect them to win that game. Just the way things were going. I remember picking it one of the few times they picked against them. I really didn't think they were going to win that game. And it ended up being, an absolute debacle. I mean, they just got absolutely destroyed in that game. By the New Orleans Saints, who went on to win the Super Bowl. But it's that kind of stuff that's fascinating. Him talking to Brady on the sideline and some other stuff in the meeting room. We don't have the Derek Mason thing. Have you played? I'm sure you played that.
Yeah, I don't have it off my fingertips here.
Okay, but that's still my favorite part of it. Is when he's yelling at Mason during the regular season win against Baltimore that year, when they're up by 10, and Mason's giving him crap, yelling at Belichick, and Bell just let him have it up and down the sideline. And he just says, "You see the scoreboard?" And Mason just shuts up and turtles and walks away. Fantastic. But really not much there from Bill Belichick. And, of course, you knew it was going to happen when he was asked about Rolando McClain. He's going to say, "You got to go ask the player." Trying to be a winning team, not a finesse team. That's a typical Bill. No problem with that. He's never going to get into a sparring over with the media. He's going to never get into a confrontation over the phone and talking to the media about a particular player. So, anyway, on Facebook, Brian says, "A little apprehensive about going to the Oakland game, all Patriot out. Don't want to be Brian Stowe part two. Should I go undercover?" Well, Now, I assume he means he's going to actually go to Oakland for the game. Am I missing something with Brian Stowe? I mean, it sounds familiar, but what am I missing with that? Do I know that name? Is he a fan that got hurt or something?
It might be.
Is that a fan that got, I forget. It's name sounds familiar. However, went through. Let's just say you had an interesting ride to the stadium, right?
Oh, yeah.
At Orchard Park?
Yeah, those people are animals out there. I mean, I'm sure.
It's Buffalo buffoons.
And the thing is, Pete, I'm sure it's the same everywhere they go, but I think Buffalo, where the stadium is unique because it's almost like in the middle of a residential neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is...
Green Bay's like that, too.
So these people who come to the game from all over to tailgate, they'll make agreements with people that live in this neighborhood to allow, you know, these people to use their lawn.
Oh, yeah. Well, Boston College is the same thing at Chestnut Hill.
I mean, type of stuff. You're driving through, and it was interesting. All the traffic was stopped to get in there, and we were allowed to, kind of go through. And we got people giving it to us on both sides of the bus, and, there's beer being thrown, and middle fingers galore, a couple of bare bottoms. It was interesting. And
is that the worst?
On the way in, I just kind of
some
like
hairy
chuckled.
Buffalo butted guy sticking his. That's the first thing you see after you eat.
I chuckled, but on the way out, it certainly wasn't pleasant. And Ralph Wilson Stadium is not one of the best when it comes to being able to get around, and also amenities wise, can't say I was that impressed.
No.
But so in order to get out of there, I had to kind of walk through the lower 100 level to get out to the team bus, and I wasn't wearing a Brady. I was wearing a suit.
Yeah.
But I was wearing a a Myra Kraft pin, I think they were astute enough to pick up.
Yeah.
This guy probably works for the
Patriots.
So they
threw more crap at you?
They didn't throw anything at me, but they definitely gave it to me pretty good. And, I was just kind of hands in my pockets clenched, and I was just like, don't open your mouth, don't say anything stupid, and just get to the bus and go home.
So it's kind of like me. In Jacksonville.
And trust me, I wanted to slug one of them.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I refrained.
I tell you, I almost did in against the Eagles because those fans were so ridiculous. I remember Freddie and Glenn, where they were sitting, they had problems with fans, with their wives
You're
there.
You're making my point.
Yeah, they had problems. I know where I was, auxiliary press box, which is where they put most of the media, which is up like in the 300 set, which is fine. I have no problem with that. It's not about the seats. So, we are surrounded by all the fans, both sides. But in Jacksonville that year against the Eagles, it was all stupid Eagle fans that were just – they were so drunk and so obnoxious. And I've said this time and time again, and the girls were way worse than the guys were, much worse. And, I mean, toilets were back. I mean, it was just that stadium, Jacksonville was just not ready in more ways than one. And so I had to sit there and – listen to Eagles fans, and they are just saying the nastiest things. Yada, blah, 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 blah. You know, this, that, F this, MF that, and about the fans and about the team and this, that, and the other thing. And then when the Patriots went up by 10 is when it was like 5 minutes before the game ended, and that's when I got up and started head down to the field. All I did was I stood in front of them, and I just put my hands up in the air. I go, did you people really think you were going to win this game? I go, did you really think you're going to win this game? And I just said, I put my hands up in the air as if, what? What do you got now? Nothing. I just walked away. Got a standing ovation from some Patriot fans. But, it was just, I sat there with my mouth shut the whole time. You don't want to be unprofessional and sit there and get in the pissing matches with stupid fans. But at the end, I stood up and I said, did you people really think you're going to win this game? Seriously think you're going to win that game? And I just walked away.
No, and it was the same with me. There's no sense trying to get bent out of shape over it.
No.
You be a better person and you walk
that's
away.
That's it. I was a better person for most of until the very last second.
Tell you what, you're a better man than Paul Perillo.
Why? What happened with him?
So I guess Paul went to the Super Bowl, like the 1996 Super Bowl.
Yeah, in New Orleans.
Way back in the day, I think with his brother.
Yeah.
And he was just getting it from Packers Nation left and right.
Yeah. And everybody says those fans are pretty cool. See, same thing with St. Louis. See, St. Louis fans, man, they were the nicest people. In 01 in New Orleans, I mean, and we were there for 9 or 10 days. We had some travel issue. We got stuck in New Orleans for like 2 extra days.
So I guess I don't know how the little altercation or skirmish happened. It didn't lead to much. But here's a little taste.
Okay.
Just all like, I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
So he, you know, you could see poor Paul Perillo down there in his Drew Bledsoe knockoff jersey just taking haymakers at some guy in a Brett Favre jersey.
Hey, he played ball at Everett, you know. Paul's a tough kid.
He certainly is.
Yeah.
He's an old man now, but not a kid anymore. But so it's good to see that you kept your calm.
I expected it because I had been around it all week, and I was so frustrated by the, you know, the disgusting room that we had to stay in, and the lack of cabs, and the lack of it. Just it's just the city wasn't prepared.
Took them out. Happy that.
Oh God, but it just, you know, but it, see, and the one in New Orleans was great. The St. Louis fans couldn't have been nicer. Could not have been nicer. I remember being out, and when the Red Sox won the World Series, being on the field in 04 in St. Louis when they won, fans there could not have been nicer. Great people. Great people. No problem with that. Carolina, even Carolina, when Patriots played them in 03, that was fine. They were mostly very nice people. No problem. But the Philadelphia people, and I'm telling you, it was the girls for the most part, just disgustingly drunk. And sick and puking, but that whole city just wasn't ready for that game. They were nowhere near prepared. Facilities were terrible, which leads me into coming up in a second. I have to read a couple more emails, but talking about the Super Bowl in 2014, which people forget is going to be in New Jersey, which I think is ridiculous.
Well, that'll be a classic.
I think it's ridiculous, but I'll get to that in a second as we get to ready to close out the show here. But Chad from Sweden. Sweden. No, it's Sweden. Get them all over the world here. Hello, Pete. I'll be a bit long. That's okay. But I think it's worth it. Why we lost. To tell you the truth, there's no way we should have lost that game. 21-0 lead, blow off. Are you kidding me? I don't care about the hype over the Bills comeback team. Losing that edge is ridiculous. This is Bill Belichick's fault. You're 21 points ahead. Why the hell are you throwing the ball? Run the ball. Why did they throw the ball? You run the ball. Throw screens. Rotate your running backs, and that's it. Throwing the ball with five wideouts is a child's mistake. And you know what? That D was doing well before Tom started to throw interceptions. Sure, they should have stopped the Bills' offense in those times. But, hey, if Bill Belichick had followed my game plan, NFL Network would probably harass our players on an eventual undefeated season. Bill Belichick has to coordinate way better his blitzes. Okay. At least the Jets lost. Every day we hear on and on about the pressure, the pressure, the pressure. We need a pass rusher. We need a pass rusher. Whoa, enough. What's all this about? Patriots have a very good linebacker set, and they do with the defensive ends. They sure aren't perfect, but, hey, they aren't 30 Jared Allens in the league. The Patriots have the guys, the rotation, the talent. Coordinate your blitzes. Bill Belichick is doing a terrible job at coordinating blitz schemes, varying them. Don't tell me the Jets have a better pass rush. Calvin Pace, Brian Thomas, oh, my God. 31 years old, first-round bust, hilarious. Mike DeVito, be serious. I wanted the Patriots to sign up Ray Edwards. Now you have your rotation. Ellis, Carter, Haynesworth, Wilfork. Rotated with Edwards, Anderson, Wright, Warren. Yet the situation is very different. Cheers from Sweden. Look, the Patriots ran the ball for over 100 yards on Sunday. I don't know if people realize that. They outrushed the Bills. Jackson had 79 yards, all right, and he had a couple of nice runs. I know he averaged whatever it was, 6 yards a carry, but they still averaged, you know, still only, the Bills only rushed for 79 yards as a team. I understand the frustration about running the ball. They ran the ball okay. And they ran the ball actually all year when they've had to. They've actually run the ball pretty well. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has gotten them yards when they needed to. Danny Woodhead and the rookies have done pretty well. That wasn't the problem. They had two deflected passes that were turned over. And I know you don't want them to throw the ball, but if Ocho Cinco catches that, they're up 28-7 at the half instead of 21-10 down. I mean, 21-10 ahead. You know, they're up by 21 instead of 11. Now, tell me the mindset might not be a little bit different. I know it's 21-0. That could have been 28-7 at the half, and God only knows what would have happened in the second half. So I understand your frustration. It's just, it's not that, you know, it's a little more complex than Bill Belichick, you know, getting his blitz schemes right. It's four turnovers on offense, one that led directly to a pick six, and one and three other ones that led to 21 more points, so, or 24 points total of four turnovers. Now, getting back to the Super Bowl real quick, and how pathetic Jacksonville was, and this is why, and I haven't been to the new Giants Stadium, and everything I've heard, it's a fabulous facility, all that stuff. Roger Goodell today in New York, reading from the ESPN story, noticed the snowflake in icy blue and white centered before the George Washington Bridge during the debut of the logo of the 2014 Super Bowl. Quote from the commissioner, "I think that's great. A little snow would be great for us, but whatever comes our way, we're going to be prepared for it." No, you won't. You will not be prepared for it. You will not be prepared for it. Trust me. You won't be prepared. You can talk it up all you want. Now, the game at MetLife Stadium will be the first outdoor Super Bowl in a cold weather venue, although the lowest Super Bowl kickoff temperature has been 39. Average February temperatures in East Rutherford, New Jersey are 24 to 40 degrees. I hope it's a blizzard. I hope there's 5 feet of snow on the ground, and I hope nobody can get to the game. That's what I hope, because it'll teach them a lesson. They keep awarding these new stadiums, and this is why Alltel Stadium in Jacksonville got it. Exactly. They promised the Jaguars a Super Bowl if they came into the league, and that's what happened. And that scenario backfired on them. That was the most embarrassing venue ever for a Super Bowl. Anybody who's been to more than one or a few, I'm lucky I've been to five, and that's, you know, minimal. I mean, there's been, what, 40, how many Super Bowls? 45, 40, I don't know, 44. But.
Interesting tweet I just read, Pete.
Oh, from who?
Andy Hart upstairs retweeted one that said Devin McCourty, when breaking down the numbers, was thrown at 11 times on Sunday.
Yep.
Nine of them were completed for 104 yards.
Well, I said it. You know, he did not have a good game. He did not have a good game. And especially, you know, I have to see how many times he was on Steve Johnson. But Johnson had a monster game, and I didn't think he'd be able to play that well. He had suffering a groin injury all week long. He still ends up at 94 yards and two touchdowns. No, I think McCourty and Bodden did not have good games on Sunday. There's no doubt about it. There's no question about it. But getting back to this ridiculous game in New Jersey in 2014. It's football. Like it was meant to. This is Roger Goodell, commissioner. It's football. Like it was meant to be played. In the open, exposed to whatever winter throws our way. I mean, is that like from a Jack London poem story? That Call of the Wild? No, the Super Bowl was not meant to be played in foul weather. Now, I understand. I mean, just, I'm telling you, if there's 5 feet of snow on the ground, let's be realistic. Say there's 8 or 9 inches that fall the night before, and the state starts snowing horribly 4 or 5 hours before kickoff, or the weather is just awful. There will be holy hell to pay, I promise you, Mr. Commissioner. You can't have these games in the Northeast I agree. It'll be, you know, watching on TV. We're all going to sit and laugh, you know, if it's horrible weather. Hopefully the Patriots, hopefully it will be there. And hopefully it'll be the Patriots, who we know can play in bad weather. They're unbelievable in the snow. But for the average fan, especially people paying a lot of money, a lot of packages to go to this thing, I just think it's ridiculous that the chances of them sitting in bad weather in a game like this magnitude is just ridiculous. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Because, you know, Jacksonville was a disaster, and has nothing to, could care less about the facility, how easy it is, because it is a little bit easier in East Rutherford to get in and out of games than it is a lot of other places, because it's right near the highway. But it's still, if the Super Bowl is played at that stadium on a cruddy day, oh, God, there'll be a lot to, Goodell says, Goodell is hoping for light snow and maintain the organizers will be prepared for foul weather. Like I said, he won't be. He thinks he will be, but he won't be. We're coming, and because you got to consider the traffic that's going to be what's going to happen, and it's just we're coming and playing in the winter, and I think that would be great. He said, "Some of our most memorable games were played in the unusual weather circumstances. Winter and cold are part of football, and snow is also." Given the venue, it figures to be a unique Super Bowl. The logo and advertising were unveiled at 8 o'clock this morning at a power breakfast news conference at The Modern, a restaurant in the Museum of Modern Art. The print campaign started Wednesday, and a broadcast advertisement that debuts Sunday already, a brash with deep voice proclaiming, quote, "A game so important, an event so monumental, a Super Bowl so historic, it takes two states to host it." The campaign and logos were designed by Source Communications. Now, I know part of this has to do with a little bit with 9/11, and I understand all that, you know. And, hey, I'm talking about from my own personal perspective, I could care. I don't care. Fine with me. I'm used to staying out in the snow, watching this team play in the snow and all that stuff. I'm talking about, you know, if you're from down south or if you're paying a lot of money, you know, I think part of the Super Bowl experience is being able to walk around the area, go to different places. And with all due respect to East Rutherford, New Jersey, you know, obviously it's only 20 minutes over the bridge, but, you know, you're still talking about going from downtown, you know, Manhattan and going across the bridge. It's different. It's just different. It's not, there's nothing around Giant Stadium unless you're McDonald's. It's not like, inside the stadium has some nice restaurants and all that stuff, but you're not going to, no one's hanging out in East Rutherford, you know, and probably most people aren't going to hang out in Philly, which is 90 miles away. That's not going to happen. So, you know, you're gonna stay in one of the most expensive cities in America, New York City, for a week in the middle of winter. Could be very difficult to walk around. Not to mention, a lot of the Super Bowl experiences are outside. And all the ones I've been to, there's a ton of, not to mention just for the kids, but for adult everything. There's most, I'd say half of the events and everything else. I mean, there's always the convention center, but I mean, a lot of the events take place outside, so. I don't know. Just a thought. Anyway, I know we got a little sidetracked there at the end, but I'm sick and tired of talking about the Patriots defense. But we'll talk more tomorrow, and we'll get into a little bit more and look ahead more to the Raiders as well. Hopefully, you have a guest or two. That's gonna do it for the Pete Shepherd Show for a Tuesday. Thanks again, everybody. Thanks to Kevin Collins producing this thing. Back tomorrow at 4 o'clock, right here, the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Thanks everybody for calling in and listening and writing in. And more of the same tomorrow. Have a good Tuesday night, everybody, and say a little prayer for the Red Sox, okay? Take care. Bye-bye.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.